we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. If you happen to be catching us at 10:30 of the morning, you're listening on WWBC, 1510 AM. There's also some other frequencies that are transmitted throughout the county. I was having breakfast with a person last week and was describing to him the reach of these radio stations, how far north and how far south they go, and all the way to the Bahamas. And through the power of the internet, they go all the way around the globe. So thank God for technological advances that empower us to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. This is not just something we do because we're bored. This is fulfilling the Great Commission. And one of my goals is that you will hear something on this radio program. It'll be a word, and I believe I've got a great word for you today, that you will want to take and share with somebody in your sphere of influence. You know people that I do not know. They don't listen to this radio program, and probably, you know, with the fact that there's, you know, about 500,000 people, I think, in Brevard County, 450 some odd thousand, whatever. And we average about 50 people in attendance on Sunday morning, with 50 to 60 anyway. And we have about 140 to 150 different people who attend services throughout the course of the year on a semi-regular basis. So, chances are really good that they're not listening to me, but you are, and you will be able to take a word that you hear from God, and you will be able to pass it along to somebody else. You know, last week, we were in the community. We were there for a business transaction, and all of a sudden came across this tremendous physical need, and we were able to pray for that person right then and there. Don't have to wait for a church service. You can pray, you know, if it's a real public place, I encourage praying discreetly. I have prayed in some shopping environments while the person was, they told me what they had need of. They needed healing in their body. And I said, well, I tell you what, you check these items out, and I'm going to pray for you. Didn't have to close my eyes, didn't have to embarrass them at any stretch of the imagination. I just had the privilege of praying with them and watching God do a miracle in their body over the next several days. So thank you for tuning in. I pray it will be time well spent today. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 12, where we're going to move on to the next chapter in the book of Isaiah. Chapter 12 says this: "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." Hallelujah. What a great, great chapter. And so chapter 11 ends, and it talks about there will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in that day he came up from the land of Egypt. So he's prophesying a return of people who've been captive and that they are going to return. And it says that whenever God does something like that, there should be a response on our part. And so it says in chapter 12, verse number 1, "In that day you will say." So this is what God expects his people to do when he starts bringing prodigals back, when he sets captives free, when he starts bringing in salvations. This is what God expects. "Oh God," or "Oh Lord, I will praise you." There's an acknowledgement that God was once angry with us. And you've got to understand, God is never unjust in his anger. Okay, if he is displeased with us, it is our fault, not God's fault. Please understand that. You see, there's a difference between God's anger and man's anger. There's a difference between God, what it says, that God is a jealous God, then man is a jealous God. When we are jealous, it is because we are being deprived of something. When God is jealous, he is jealous for us because he knows that we are depriving ourselves of the blessing of his relationship, of being in relationship with us. It's never self-serving with him. It's almost always self-serving with mankind. Our anger is self-served. Our covetousness is selfish. Our anger is selfish. Almost everything we do is self-absorbed. And folks, unfortunately, to a large degree, that stuff is pervasive even in the church. There are people that are in the church, but still they are self-centered and self-focused. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about this? What about that? And it's always about them. We're gonna be talking about that type of mindset here in the days to come. But God wants us to realize that he has given us the heart of a servant. I was in the post office the other day, and I saw a person wearing a shirt. I didn't go up and say anything to them, but their church said that they were part of a particular ministry at the church, and I know the church. And, you know, I thought that was awesome. Because you know what? It wasn't about them. It was about meeting needs for other people. "Lord, I will praise you, for though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me." So you and I, when God brings people back, we should realize that the reason that there was a separation in the first place was man's fault, not God's fault. We should praise God when that division has ceased, where that strife and discord is now done away with, and we have repented and embraced God. We should praise him for what he has done. What has God done for you lately? Have you praised him for it? And I'm telling you, if you come and you sit down, I don't care who you are, I can sit down and I can help you to find something to praise God about. So many people, they analyze everything through the lens of self. I want to help you to analyze things through the lens of faith, through the lens of your relationship with God. And what Isaiah said is, this is what people should say in that day: "God, I praise you. I worship you." It says, instead of anger, that God had replaced it with comfort. Aren't you thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit? There's a hymn in our hymn book. It talks about the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Spirit is the one who comforts us. And the comfort that we receive from him is not to be an end result in itself. It is supposed to be a process where the comfort we have received, we use it to comfort others in their situation. It says God comforts us. So I will just I'll speak to you from my experience here for just a minute. Whenever I'm going through something, and I'm a pastor, I spend a lot of time in the Word, know the Word pretty well, still trying to know it better. But when people start using superficial spiritual cliches to comfort me, if I happen to be going through something, and this hasn't happened recently, so it does the exact opposite. It, you know, if I'm talking on to somebody on the phone and they cause the conversation to be nothing but superficial spiritual cliches, I literally turn the phone away from my ear. And I just wait for the sound to drown out, because I'm looking for comfort. I'm not looking for a cliche. God just doesn't want to comfort you with words. He wants to be with you. He wants to reassure you it's going to be okay, that he's got everything under control. Let God be your comforter today. Men may fail you. God never will. God understands everything that you are going through. Do you realize that the scripture says that Jesus was tempted in every manner like as we are, yet without sin? That means he understands the temptation. He knew what it was like to see people that he was close to die. He knew what that pain felt like. He knew what it was like to know that he was getting ready to die, and there were people that he had been responsible for, that they were going to be left behind. He knows what it is like to have to delegate in that situation. He knows what dying is like. He knows what it's like to be unjustly condemned. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. If there's anybody on the planet who can comfort you from experience, it's Jesus. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation." God is not just the God who saves. God is salvation. So many times we get focused on what can God do for us, and we fail to realize that it is God, period, that's the goal. Salvation is who he is. Healer is who he is. King is who he is. Deliverer, it's who he is. It's part of his nature. It's who he is. But behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. This is one of my great pinnacle levels that I want people to come to grips with. And that is to get to the place in their relationship with God that they trust him, period. They trust him when things are going well. They trust him when things are not going as well as we would like them. They trust him when they understand the process, and they trust him when they don't understand. You see, how can we say that something is beyond our understanding and then turn right around and say, "Well, I don't understand, therefore I can't trust you"? If I can comprehend all there is to know about God with my finite brain, God's too small. God's too small, if that's the case. The reality is, God is so marvelous and so awesome, so large, so powerful, that it is an eternal quest to discover all the great things about God. And that means that I can trust him even when I don't understand. I trust him beyond my understanding. And when I trust him, then fear is banished. Fear is lost. I don't want fear to rule my life. The scripture says that perfect love casts out all fear. God's not given you a spirit of fear. He doesn't want you afraid. He wants you to live life free from fear. He wants you to live life free from fear. It says, "For Yah the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation." And so today, you might look at yourself and you might see yourself insufficient for the task. You might find yourself feeling a little weak and influenced or intimidated, but God is the strength. That's where our fortification comes from. It's where our edification comes from. So allow God to impart to you that strength and allow him to be your song. Now, for as long as I can remember, I have been singing. I've first started singing when to the Imperials, Heed the Call album. I started driving about that time, and I'd roll up the windows, and man, I would try and hit every note that Russ Taff could hit. And then, you know, I was listening to Petra, and I would try and hit every note that Greg Volz hit. And, you know, I would drive down the road, I'd roll up the window, I'd just be singing away. And you know what? I don't care. Anybody who was embarrassed about me back then, I haven't seen them for decades. And so, but I still remember singing those songs. And, you know, the really unusual thing about music I've discovered is even if you don't hear a song for several decades and all of a sudden you hear this song, you realize that you can almost start singing the words without missing a beat. If the song gets down inside your person, and even if it's laid dormant for 3 decades, all of a sudden you hear it on the radio, and all of a sudden it comes back like you just were singing it yesterday. So a few weeks ago, we were singing a song in our vintage service, and so I started searching YouTube just to make sure that I had all of the words and had the right melody in my head and all of that. I was doing my due diligence, and when I did, there was a song that was on there, and I said, you know what, I think I'm just going to feed my spirit here, and I'm not going to do preparation for the service. I'm just going to minister to God and to myself right now. And I worshiped with that video on YouTube. Maybe you didn't know that YouTube had those wonderful videos out there. You can have church right at your computer screen if you know, anytime during the, you know, and so I encourage that song, it starts coming out. If you have that relationship with God, sing that song. Sing it. You say, well, I'm not musical, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't care. God has the greatest sound system in all of history. He is able to filter out all of the missteps, the misnotes, the mistiming. He's able to adjust all of that, and it makes a beautiful song in his heart. I don't remember what the technology is called, but a lot of the singers now use the technology. And then every once in a while, you hear them sing a song live or something without that technology and say, what happened? What happened? Guess what? They're not singing every note perfectly. It's the technology and the technicians. They help overcome the weaknesses. Sing the song of victory that God has put into your heart. Verse number 3 says this, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Salvation is not meant to be just an experience or an event on the calendar of your past. Salvation is something that we are supposed to thank God for and grow in on a daily basis. When I was in Bible college, the scripture indicates that we were saved when we asked Jesus to come and live in our heart, forgive us of our sins, that we are being saved every day while we are walking on this planet, and one day when Jesus comes to take us to heaven, that we will be ultimately saved. And so it is part of our past, it is part of our present process, and it is part of our future that God has for us. Salvation is part of the journey that we are on. But it says in verse number 3 here, Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 3, that we have a responsibility, that the salvation is a well. It is, you know, if you can picture a water well where they would have a covering over the top of it. They would have a rope and a bucket. They would drop it down there. They would fill it up, and they would bring it up daily as they had need. And so the salvation experience that you have with God, the salvation journey you are on, it is sufficient for today. It is sufficient for today. I guarantee you that there's enough resource there. Whatever financial need that you've got today, God is able. What relationship needs you have today, God is able. It's a well, and we need to access that well. When Moses came out of Egypt, there was an encounter that took place at the well. When Jacob met Rachel, there was an encounter. There was something that took place at the well. When Jesus was ministering to the woman at John chapter 4, it was something that took place at the well. Abraham, when he entered the promised land, he dug wells. When Abraham died, the Philistines plugged them all up. When Isaac came along, he redug them. He took out all of the pollutants. He reaccessed the well. Then they contended with him, and eventually he came and he dug a well that he named Rehoboth because nobody contended with him there. Whatever you do, don't settle in your spirit for a parched spirit. Don't settle for dryness. God has satisfaction in salvation that is available. And it says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Our salvation experience is something that should cause a great deal of joy. And so every day on this Tuesday, June the 14th, you can with joy access all of the blessings of your relationship with God. Put a great big smile on your face. Know that God has blessed you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. One of my favorite books in the New Testament is the book of Philippians. The church in Philippi had been started with a spiritual deliverance and Paul being incarcerated. There were some meetings that had gone on before that, but this woman started following Paul and Silas around, and Silas had just really started on these journeys with Paul, and this woman starts following him around. She's demon possessed, and by the way, when the Bible says that that's her condition, that means that was her condition. It wasn't ignorance on the part of the people. There really was a demonic activity in her life, and Paul got annoyed with this woman following them around day after day. And she was saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, telling us the way to be saved. And her, everybody knew her lifestyle, and her message and her lifestyle didn't equate. And so Paul turned around, he cast the unclean spirit out of her, and all of a sudden the people who were profiting off of her, do you realize that people will profit off of your sin, that people will profit off of your involvement in things in this life that God doesn't want you involved in? It's all about enriching them. The religious leadership attacked Jesus because they were afraid that they were going to lose their position. Paul was attacked on numerous occasions because people thought they were going to lose money. Once with this woman, once I believe it was in Ephesus where the idol makers, they felt like their trade was being threatened. They were going to lose their livelihood. So Paul does that, and they end up throwing him in jail. They beat him, and the Philippian jailer gets saved. That's the way that the Philippian church was birthed. But you read the book of Philippians, and you are going to find rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You are going to find joy here and joy there and joy everywhere. There is joy in the book of Philippians. And he was reminding the Philippians that even though the church was birthed in adversity, that our relationship with God causes us, it compels us to rejoice. So today, I encourage you, access the throne of grace with joy. It says, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. And so on the days that we draw out of the wells of salvation with joy, then it causes us to praise him. It causes us to call upon his name, to believe God for things that we are facing in our lives. It also compels us to declare his deeds among the people. When is the last time you just bragged on God? Where you just said, I just got to tell you what good thing God has done for me. A friend of mine, his father passed away recently, and a week or so ago, I got the testimony came through that before that man died, he had given his heart to Jesus. He was baptized. His name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today he's worshiping around the throne room of heaven. That message caused me to rejoice. Declare his deeds among the people. God saves. He saves the young. He saves the old. Make mention that his name is exalted. He has done excellent things. Verse number 6 says, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Do you believe today that you are serving a great God, a holy God, a God that is worthy of praise, a God who is worthy to be worshiped, a God that you can access? Do you believe today that God has done great things among the people? Do you believe today that he is worthy of praise, that he's holy in all that he does? Listen, it doesn't just say that God is holy in heaven. He's not just holy at church. He says this, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Right in the middle of our mess, God is still the great Holy One of Israel. Right in the middle. Whatever you're going through today, God is not off on a tangent someplace. He's not hiding in a corner. He's right there with you. Great is the Holy One. Why don't we do that today? Can we just close today by doing what it says in verse number 3? Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Father, we just want to thank you for the joy that you have placed within us. God, we want to thank you that our sins have been forgiven and our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to thank you that you are dwelling in our midst and that it is a joyous relationship. Lord, today I pray that no matter what anybody is going through, that we would realize you are in our midst and you are worthy to be praised. God bless you. Have an awesome Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.